This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us today on a beautiful day in paradise as we talk about the State of the Union address tonight with Roger Villery, the chairman of the Louisiana Republican Party. Roger Villery, of course, will comment not only on President Obama, but also on David Vitter, his neighbor in Metairie, who is now running for governor of Louisiana. And we'll look at the U.S. Senate race as well. Also on the show, Stephen Beck. He is the director of the LSU School of Music. Big event this week, the One Spectacular Concert. The LSU School of Music, of course, is one of the great organizations at Louisiana State University. We'll talk about it. But first, the news on 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Your numbers are 297-5633, 877-217-5757, and inkstershow at wrkf.org if you'd like to reach us online. Today is an interesting day in our community. The roads are clear. If you're out there driving right now, you're going to have one of the smoothest rides you've had in some time. And perhaps this is overkill, but of course people are taking precautions, and throughout the day we'll follow the breaking news as far as weather-related information right here on WRKF. And with us is Roger Villery, the chairman of the Louisiana Republican Party. And my mother used to say on days like this, the boys are separated from the men or the men from the boys. And Roger Villery is a small business person. And my guess is that he is at his office at his florist in Metairie today. Am I correct?
That's correct. We're at work. We're trying to do business on this. Actually, it's a beautiful day. And I'm glad that we're being cautious, but maybe a little overcautious. I just got back from Washington, D.C., and it was 10 degrees with 6 inches of snow on the ground. And everybody was going about their business as normal, and here it is, sunny and 37 degrees, and everybody's hiding in their house. So I don't
It is amazing, isn't it?
It is.
And not only that, we live in a place where the roads are flat, so we don't have to worry about hills. But yet, we've essentially shut down the state today.
We have, and part of the problem is the overpasses do ice up fairly quick, and we're just not prepared with the crews with to have the sand or salt or whatever we need to handle it in the proper way. And it happens so infrequently that we're just not prepared for it.
How was your trip to Washington, other than the weather?
The trip was great. We were there for the RNC meeting, and we met with a number of our congressmen, and it was a great trip. Had a good meeting, heard some good speeches. Although Mike Huckabee had a great speech, but some of his speech was taken out of context, and I thought it was ridiculous the way it was reported in some of the media. But
well,
I think he straightened all that out.
When you say it was taken out of context, what do you mean?
Well, yeah, part of his speech were taken completely out of context in the way it was presented. So
we listened to that yesterday, and of course, yes. The snippets that are available are short, the one that has been played most often is, I think, to say the least, somewhat inflammatory. Do we have it, JC? Let's give it a listen. Mike Huckabee last week with Roger Villery in Washington, D.C. at the RNC meeting. We're going to try to cue him up, the former governor of Arkansas, who finished second to John McCain in the race for the Republican nomination in 2008 and is being mentioned prominently now as a candidate for president in 2016.
Women, right. I know, are outraged that the Democrats think that women are nothing more than helpless and hopeless creatures whose only goal in life is to have the government provide for them birth control medication. Women I know are smart, educated, intelligent, capable of doing anything that anyone else can do. Our party stands for the recognition of the equality of women and the capacity of women. That's not a war on them, it's a war for them. And if the Democrats want to insult the women of America by making them believe that they are helpless without Uncle Sugar coming in and providing for them a prescription each month for birth control because they cannot control their libido or their reproductive system without the help of the government, then so be it. Let us take that discussion all across America, because women are far more than the Democrats have played them to be. And women across America need to stand up and say, enough of that nonsense.
All right. You're okay with that?
I really am. I think that what he's saying is that Republicans respect women's rights and individuals, and the Democrats are the ones that think women can't do anything on their own, that they have to provide, everything has to be provided for them by the government. We had more women in the room than we had men, and I didn't hear any problem with that during the speech or even after the speech. We just thought it was strange and odd later on that night when we went to a reception, and they were making such a big deal about it. I thought it was right on.
Well, women collectively voted overwhelmingly for the president in 2012. President Obama beat Mitt Romney by 12 percentage points among women, and that's what won him the election. With that as the backdrop, Roger, do you think statements like this are politically palatable for the electorate? Is this something that's going to work?
Well, that's questionable whether you need to make statements like that or not. But it was made, and I think it was made in a sense that from righteousness. I don't think it was a sense of attacking women. I think it was glorifying women. That was a decision that he made to promote. But, I think that when Democrats look at, they have to provide everything for women because women can't do it themselves. That's pretty derogatory in itself,
297-5633 is your number outside the area. It's 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email at inkstershow@wrkf.org, and we'll go to the phone lines in just a moment. In fact, we're going to go to Charles on North Foster right now. Charles, good morning. You're on with Roger Villery.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Roger. I just heard that comment from Governor Huckabee. I mean, doesn't that ring like Mitt Romney's 47% of Americans that always depended on the government, and Republicans will never get that vote? And on the backdrop of that comment, I just love the fact that you guys have Senator Vitter running for governor. I think that's another insult to women and women's intelligence and rights in the world.
All right.
Senator Vitter was elected a number of times to Congress and a number of times to the Senate, the U.S. Senate, and he was elected by all the people, and he got a large majority of the women vote, and he served honorably in our state legislature, and, that Senator Vitter's record's there for people to look at, and the people respected his record and reelected him a number of times, so I think his record speaks for itself.
Will you be supporting him for governor?
I'm going to be supporting our nominee. We have a number of people are talking about running, and we support all strong Republicans, and he is a strong Republican candidate for governor.
You ran against Jay Darden for lieutenant governor. Any hard feelings there?
Absolutely not. No, Jay is doing an excellent job as lieutenant governor, and I'm proud to have him in our party.
Okay, 297-5633 for Roger Villery, the chair of the Louisiana Republican Party, working on a nice day. He says it's beautiful, 37 degrees in Metairie. He's at his florist, so if you're nearby, we're getting close to Valentine's Day. This must be big time of the year for you.
Very big time. Valentine's Day is for one day of the year. That's our single biggest day of the year in the flower business. We're built around all florists. Their business is built around major holidays. And Mother's Day is the biggest week of the year. But for one single day, Valentine's Day outshines every other day of the year.
You obviously do a lot of business with people sending flowers to funerals. But On the whole, I would think being in your line of work is probably one of the most civilized lines of work that we have. You must generally leave office with a pretty good feeling about mankind.
You really do. People love to get flowers and send flowers. It's really a rewarding career. I'm blessed that all three of my sons are involved in my business. My wife, we have 11 family members that are involved in our business. We have a couple of locations. I have one in Covington and one in Metairie. And it's a small family business that my wife and I started when we were very young, back in 1969. And over the years, it's built up to be quite a floral business. So we enjoy working with our customers, and we got some great employees, and it's just a traditional family business that we've built over the years, a little bit at a time.
Do you face economic downturns in the floral business as well?
Well, we do. You know, I have to be honest. For years and years and years, we've grown. And since since President Obama has been elected, we have been flat. The business is just flattened out. People have not they're not spending the money. They're really cautious on how they're spending the money, and the business has not been growing these last 5 years. It's just reached a plateau. And
but the stock market's going up, out of sight, Roger.
Market's going out of sight.
It looks like people might have a few more dollars to spend on a dozen roses. What is a dozen roses? What do they go for these days?
They go the fancy long stem roses are going for $65 a dozen. So
that's stayed pretty consistent through the years, hasn't it?
That really has. Yeah, we do a short stem roses for $45 and a long stem for $65. And they're beautiful flowers, and they hold up well, and it's been pretty consistent over time. They'll probably go up a little for Valentine's Day because especially with this bad weather, the real big flower growers, when you have maybe a half a million or a million square feet, and it could run you $100,000 a night for heat because you don't have that insulation, so. They do pull covers over the outside of the greenhouses, but when it gets cool like this, we get this cool air coming down. It gets quite expensive. So every night we have like this, they're adding pennies, maybe nickels to the cost of the wholesale cost. And of course you have to add the freight and everything on. So they could run up the price a little bit.
Well, like a man who's passionate about his work, and obviously Roger Villery is as a florist, and whether you like his politics or not, he's a hardworking person who's at work today when most people, or many people, have taken a powder. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on with Roger Villery.
Good morning, Mr. Villery. Were the women in the room that you speak of typically full-time homemakers, or otherwise able to afford to feed and care for as many children as they can see?
Well, I didn't really take a poll on whether they were full-time homemakers or I would guess the majority of them had worked in businesses. Just knowing most of them, they were members of the RNC. Most of them are in the business realm. So I would guess that it was pretty equal, homemakers and people in business, maybe more people that actually work for a living, but I would only guess. I don't know.
Did he score any points with you, Dan?
No, I would say that Republicans, including Mr. Villery, are just totally inconsiderate of people who are struggling, single moms have to work one or two jobs, and they have to make a difficult choice in life. And, I think it's short-sighted on the part of the Republican Party.
Thank you, Dan.
I don't agree. I come from a big family. We had seven kids in our family. My mom worked. My dad worked. He worked for the post office. My mom was a teacher. They managed to get by. My boys work, their wives work. They manage to get by. I hope that I have four granddaughters. So
you know.
We'll hold tight. Back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Roger Villery, the longtime chair of the Louisiana Republican Party, is with us. 297-5633 is your number. Outside the Baton Rouge calling area, it's 877-217-5757. Email inkstershow at wrkf.org. For Roger Villery, the man who was born at Touro Hospital in New Orleans. New Orleans, by the way, is a city that has produced many Louisiana politicos, but to my knowledge, I think David Vitter is the only U.S. senator in our state's history to be born in the city of New Orleans, and if elected governor, he would be the first governor since Bob Kennan to be born in the great city of New Orleans. Roger Villery.
Since Bob Kennan.
Since wow. Bob Kennan, who was born in 1898.
That's a couple of years ago. Yeah,
yeah,
that's been a while.
He went to De La Salle High on St. Charles Avenue. Where did you go to high school?
I went to Rummel High School in Metairie.
Most New Orleanians in your time went to Catholic high schools, and it's a city that is largely Roman Catholic. Vitter is a Catholic. Do you think he's gotten past the scandal?
Oh, I think so. You know, that's that happened a long time ago, and I think that we've moved in a new direction.
Ellen in Sherwood Forest. Ellen, good morning. You're on with Roger Villery.
Good morning. Mr. Villery, you said that you had a large family and your parents both worked. And they got by. But what if one or both of them had been laid off? Like in today's world, the Republicans won't even vote for extended unemployment benefits for decent people.
No, they have to get a job. We've voted for extended unemployment, but we have 99 weeks. That's not extended unemployment. That's almost permanent unemployment. People need to get a job. Whenever my sons or myself or any of us needs a job, we've gotten a job in a week or two. Might not be president of a company, but I worked since I'm 14 years old. I worked in local greenhouse. I worked in local florist. I worked for a railroad for a while. There are plenty of jobs out there. Might not be making or doing what you wanted. If you were a top salesman in a company, you might have to go start at the bottom, but there are lots of jobs. We have people today who are begging people to go work, but they don't want to go be retrained and do a different job. My dad worked three jobs to manage. He worked at a bank at night, and on weekends he helped at home and car, and he worked on a post office during the day. He managed to work. There are plenty of jobs out there. People just want to walk into a job making exactly what they were before, and that's just not reality. So the Republicans have worked really hard, and we've voted to extend, and even now are willing to vote to extend it further if we could get offset, if we can get and not just go and raise the debt limit more, but they won't talk about doing any offset.
Well, I'm a teacher in an inner-city school, and I see the working poor families and how they're struggling. And we need to raise the minimum wage because people are struggling and the cost of living keeps going up.
Well, that's a reasonable thing to look at. But you do know when you raise the minimum wage, the cost of everything goes up, and it's a vicious circle because when you raise the minimum wage, the people that are making the minimum then normally working at mostly it's young people starting out or people that don't have much experience. Mostly, not everyone on minimum wage, but most of the people are. The majority, over 70% of people on minimum wage are people new to the economy or in a type of transitional job for a short period of time. So when those prices go up, the cost of labor goes up, the cost of goods then have to go up. And then when you raise the goods, if the cost of a hamburger goes up, then that same person who is buying that or the person stocking the shelves,
you know, the high school kid stocking the shelves, if you've given him a raise and all the food prices go up, then you pay more for food. So,
minimum wage by itself
is not the answer. Good job opportunities, good education. If you're a teacher, you understand the importance of education, and that's what we need to do, give good educational opportunities to our workforce.
But we need to help the parents, too, who are struggling mightily. That's the thing that we need to do. And they want to do better, but they just don't have the money or the means to do better.
Thank you, Ellen. Appreciate your remarks. Do you have any workers at minimum wage, Roger?
We don't, not at the present time. But we do start brand-new employees that are in high school and they only working for a couple of days. We'll start at minimum wage. Within a few weeks, if they're doing any good, they're making more than minimum wage. But right now, we don't have any because everybody's been here a good bit of time. And really good employees. You want them to stay, and you want to raise their salaries and take good care of them. And that's an important thing. In business, very few, now there's always exceptions, but very few businesses work on a minimum wage for employees at any length of time. The employees get promoted up, they get moved to different positions, or as they become more efficient and trained, they get raises because you want to keep that. It's expensive putting on new employees. You have to, the advertisement, the training, working them into your workforce, that's very expensive. It's much better to pay them a good salary to keep them. Now, there's certain industries and certain times, especially like the fast food industry, where brand-new employees coming on, which normally work just for a short period of time in that type of field, you can train them really fast, and they work on low margins. But then the ones that are doing good that have potential to be managers or assistant managers or regional managers, they're promoted pretty fast, so they get out of that minimum wage pretty quick.
The minimum wage for people who work and get tips, it's just over $2 an hour. So on a day like this, when restaurants are open and these people break their backs to get to work, and there may not be as many customers as there usually are, it can be a tough day when you're making just over $2 an hour. The biggest cleaners here in Baton Rouge, I know they pay their workers $8 an hour, a little above minimum wage, but sometimes you go in there and there's only one person there the whole day operating the whole facility. So there are a lot of people out there who don't make a lot of money, who work hard, play by the rules, and have a real challenge.
I agree. There is a challenge. But people have to take some initiative on their own. They need to look constantly for better jobs, upgraded jobs. We need to offer opportunities for training. I think that's one of the big things that, as a government, we should look at and do a better job of training people to get better jobs. And there are plenty programs. But again, life, when you're busy and you have kids and you're doing things, it's hard to fit all that in. But
Rinaldi in Sherwood Forest, you're on with Roger Villery. Hi, Rinaldi.
Hey, Brad. I love this topic, Jim. And I'm going to do a little bit of personal, just a little bit of personal, and then tell you about my business and why I think we need to raise the minimum wage. I started working for a company called Burger Chef when I was 14 years old, but I then transferred to a big corporation called Burger King. Well, I worked at Burger King from age 15 years old all the way through graduate school, believe it or not. And those hamburger flipping jobs did teach me a lot. Now, onto my own businesses that I own now, I think it's a specious argument to say that, we don't need to raise the minimum wage because these people are just first time in. A lot of people who are taking jobs now, Jim, have to take minimum wage jobs. For example, maybe an extra stocking job at Walmart, or even maybe their primary job, and they're being paid a little bit above minimum wage. When we're reading in the newspaper that corporations are making record profits. And just a small historical point. Back in 1914, this guy named Henry Ford offered $5 a day for a 40-hour work week. But what he found was, he changed, first of all, changed the landscape of American productivity. But when he raised the wage, he said that was the best investment. that he ever made because it cut down on absenteeism and he got better workers.
All right. Is there a question here? Rinaldi, do you have a question?
Well, the question is, if the raising of the minimum wage has proven to become a more attractive program for businesses, why are we even having this discussion about raising the minimum wage?
All right.
Well, if that was the case, every business would just automatically raise the minimum wage to, you know, why not pay everybody $200 an hour? And they'd make a lot of money, and then the businesses would make a lot of money. That's just not a good argument. You have to balance the cost of a product. Every product has a selling price and ability to sell. And part of the price, and usually one of the biggest costs, is labor. So part of the price of a product is the labor. And if you price it out the market, people don't buy it, then you have no jobs. So you have to make money in order to provide opportunities. They have to make money in order to pay people. And so you have to, that's what competition is. It keeps people in line as far as their expenses and their selling price. So, you know, it has to be a balance. People have to make enough to live. You want good employees. You don't want to get all bad employees. You don't want people on the edge. So you want to take care of your employees. You want to pay them as much as you can, but you also have to pay them and be competitive in the market. And if you're not competitive, you go out of business.
All right. 297-5633, still time to get in with Roger Villery, chair of the Louisiana Republican Party. Stephen Miley asks, what's your position, Roger, on gay marriage and legalization of recreational marijuana in Louisiana?
Well, you know, I think with recreational marijuana, you have to really study that. I don't really know enough on all sides of the issue to me make a personal decision on that. I have a lot of family that's in law enforcement, and they've spent a lot of their life, you know, working against legalized drugs. I've seen what it's done to families. I've seen what drugs have done, and there's arguments on all sides of that. And that's just a subject I really couldn't.
All right. Steve Winham, my good friend, writes, Jim, while we typically overreact to these kinds of situations, we already have had as much sleet as we had snow last week up here in St. Francisville, and I'd bust my behind if I walked down my sidewalk. And it's going to get worse. There's no doubt that there is some bad stuff coming. But right now in Metairie, where it's warmer than it is here, you're not even at freezing yet, are you?
No, we're right above freezing. The last I checked, and I'm in my office, so I haven't checked it. Like I said, it was 37 a little earlier, so it could be down to, you know, 35 or so now. I know that the cool weather was coming in, but it has not hit freezing yet.
All right, 297-5633, HB in Denham Springs. You're on with Roger Villery. Hi, HB.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Villery, I recently read an article in Reader's Digest about government waste whereby the government is paying certain vendors who have contracts $20 for an ice tray that you can buy at Dollar General for 99 cents. And my question is this, in connection with what you've just talked about, is the average taxpayer really fed up with government waste, with certain contractors paying exorbitant prices for what they have, for what they can go buy it for at their corner store? Thank you, sir.
I think that the average taxpayer is fed up with government overspending. It's a problem that we just have, but we have a system where you have to bid on contracts, and if you have a bid, and it's the low bid, even though it could be 10 times higher than you or I would pay, they're required to take that bid. And this is a big expense in putting the bids together, getting all the technical details, hiring the attorneys or engineers or whatever you're doing, and then putting it all together in a bid. So a lot of times when we force bids on certain projects, it actually runs the cost up. The low bidder could still be 5 or 10 times the cost of another. But I'm not sure how to get around that when you have such a large bureaucracy that you require bids in order to be competitive. So that's part of the problem in having a big government. The smaller governments, the better. And we need to learn to do more for ourselves and not expect government to do every single thing for us. The government is made up of individuals. In order to have checks and balances, you have a bureaucracy that's very expensive to run. And right now, nationally, if you look at all the cost with our the trillions of dollars that we owe and the unfunded liabilities, every man, woman, and child in this country probably is on the hook for about $1.1 or $1.2 million. So we're all millionaires in reverse.
I don't think it's that much, Roger. I don't think.
Oh, yeah, it is when you add the unfunded liability.
297-5633. Delia asks, are you in favor of requiring women who wish to terminate an unwanted pregnancy to have a sonogram before being allowed to do so?
I think so. I would be in favor of that so that they could see their child and make a decision. Is that something that they really want to do, terminate a life? Because I believe, life starts at conception. And if you're willing to terminate a life, that's a big decision to make. So I think that would help women decide. For so long, they were told, well, that's not truly a life. But now, with modern technology, we can show that there is life.
All right. Here's an observation from Rick Causey, who writes, perhaps Tiger Woods and Bill Clinton could be David Vitter's advisors on women's issues.
I'm not going to respond.
Okay, I understand. But you think Senator Vitter's put this behind him? Now, Mary Landrieu, she was born in Arlington, Virginia, but grew up in New Orleans and is synonymous with your city. Are you going to support your fellow New Orleanian for her reelection quest for the U.S. Senate?
We're working hard to retire Mary Landrieu. We think that it's time that she goes home. We think that we've identified about 1,000 precincts statewide that we feel like that we have opportunities to gain a lot of voters in. So we're working extremely hard. For the last few months, we've been working on a 100-city tour called Red to the Roots Tour. We've actually made a little over 50 stops so far, and we're working to identify precinct captains and supporters throughout the state. And we just think it would be better for our state if Mary was retired.
Do you think that's going to happen?
We really do. We think that this is the time that I think that the polls have consistently shown her numbers under 50% reelect. We've had consistent polls for the last 2 months where she's around 43% reelect, and we're confident that we're going to have a new senior senator.
297-5633. We'll be back for a few more minutes with Roger Villery, and then we'll hear from Stephen David Beck, the director of the LSU School of Music. Big week for the School of Music. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. We thank everybody who is hard at work today in this community and around who have faced the elements. And right now, let's face it, there aren't too many elements to face, but it's going to change. But they're at work doing their jobs when a lot of people have taken the day off. Roger Villery is one of those who runs Villery Florist in Metairie. How many locations do you have, Roger?
We have two locations. We have one in Covington and one in Metairie. But we deliver the entire metro New Orleans area. We go all the way down to St. Bernard, and we go all the way almost to La Place. We go to St. Rose. We go across the river and down the Belle Chasse, and we go across the lake all the way to Folsom.
How many employees do you have?
We have about 40 employees.
Okay. So you're a small business, but one that's been around for how long?
Since 1969.
45 years for Roger Villery. In the Senate race, are you backing Congressman Cassidy?
We have a number of Republicans running, and we're going to we're supporting all our Republican candidates. We think Congressman Cassidy is an excellent candidate.
Do you have Rob Manus is in the race, but will there be other Republicans entering? And Paul Hollis, another one.
Yeah, right now there's three announced candidates, and we think all of them are quality people, and we think a lot of Congress, but our congressman is doing a great job, and we think he would be an excellent senator.
Well, Hollis is from your backyard. I'm sure you know him well.
His dad was a real good friend of mine. I was helped him get elected to the our parish council, and then as a state senator, and so we've been friends of the family for a long time, known for a long time.
Is a runoff inevitable?
At this point, it's hard to really tell if a runoff is inevitable or not. But I would think that there'd probably be a runoff. Looking at the numbers right now, there seems like that's the way it's leaning. But it's early. We don't even know if everyone's going to qualify. And I think at this point in the campaign, it's people are jockeying for position. People are trying to raise money and raise awareness, and I think as it gets closer, we'll see what happens. But I'm confident we're going to have a Republican as our new senator.
Well, Roger Villery, we thank you for joining us today and look forward to future conversations with you, and hope you have a brisk day at the office despite the bad weather that is.
Well, we wish everyone have a safe day, and the next couple of days, everyone be careful on the road. And thank you for having me, and always enjoyable, Jim. Thanks.
All right. Take care, Roger. Bye-bye. 297-5633 is your number, and we're joined by Stephen David Beck, director of the LSU School of Music. Good morning, Dr. Beck.
Good morning.
Well, thank you for coming in today. I bet you didn't have much traffic.
It was an easy drive. It was kind of scary that there was just nobody on the roads, but it was an easy drive.
We're in hurricane mode.
We are, absolutely. Winter hurricane.
People are buying up all the bread and the milk and everything else at grocery stores in preparation for a night that could be eventful. But it should only be one night.
We hope so. We've been calling it the snowpocalypse at the office.
But there are people at the office.
Not today, actually.
Well, you've got Ronette with you here today.
She's here, yes.
So you have some folks who are hard at work on a day when it would be easy to just stay at home and call in and say, hey, I can't make it. But Stephen Beck made it all the way to our studio, and he's got a big week ahead. I'm sure, are there rehearsals today?
Well, no. Our dress rehearsal for the Concert Spectacular is Thursday. It's a long day for us, we have so many ensembles and people involved in the concert that we have to put it all together in one day and then get right to the show. But we're very excited about it. It's really going to be a great concert on Friday night.
How many years have you been at LSU?
I joined in 1988, so this is my 26th year.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. More
than a quarter century. And we've had very few days since 1988 like this one in the middle of winter.
It's hard to remember.
Not your typical January day in Baton Rouge, but come January 31st, that's this Friday night, at the LSU Union Theater. Tell us what's going to happen.
Well, it's our annual Concert Spectacular, which is from the inception, the Concert Spectacular has been a fundraiser for our General Scholarship Fund. It's also a way to let the community know what we do at the School of Music. We have such a broad range of ensembles, of musical styles, and activities that are represented by the faculty that we have, that it's an opportunity for the public to really see little bits of and snippets of all the different kinds of things that we do. The concert will include music from our orchestra, wind ensemble, a cappella choir, jazz ensemble, many of our faculty soloists, some of our student soloists and chamber groups, and even from our laptop orchestra. And it just shows the breadth of what we can do as a school of music and what we present.
You mentioned the laptop orchestra.
I did.
Tell us about the laptop orchestra?
Well, the laptop orchestra is just, it's one of the many ways in which we're looking at expanding the notion of what music can be. And it's simply taking the idea of an orchestra, but applying it with technology. It's a small group. It's been an exciting thing that we've been doing. But it's just one of the many things that we're involved with, including our great jazz ensemble. We're going to be featuring Sandra Moon, who's one of our new faculty in voice. She's going to be singing an aria from the Strauss opera Elektra, and we're very excited about that.
Stephen David Beck, director of the LSU School of Music, and I think J.C. Kane has a selection. What are we going to hear, Stephen?
It's a recording from last year's concert.
Okay, this is an example of what we should hear come Friday, January 31st. You want to do a little commentary on this?
Sure. That's from that's the dance Bohème from Carmen by Georges Bizet, and that's featuring our orchestra and great flute players.
Now, this is going to be a lengthy endeavor as concerts go.
Well, as concerts go, it's actually not that long. It's an hour long. It'll be a little bit over an hour long. No pause between the pieces and no applause between the pieces except at the very end. The idea is that we just get started, we get rolling, and it goes from piece to piece to piece. The performers are scattered all over the Union Theater. We have them on the main stage. Right. We have them on the wings and the balconies. And then by the end, we're going to be ending with a grand finale that's going to really bring down the house.
And it's being billed as everything from Wagner to Elvis Presley.
Absolutely. We even have a group from our musical theater class that's going to be singing a number from All Shook Up.
I'm All Shook Up. Elvis Presley. Willis Deloney, he'll be featured.
Willis will be playing on a couple of pieces. He'll be doing a duet with Bill Grimes, his partner in crime in jazz. Mm-hmm. But I also want to mention Brian Shaw will be leading the jazz ensemble, doing some great numbers there. There'll be a lot of faculty represented from different areas.
Catherine Kimmler.
Penny will be playing she's going to be playing a really interesting piece. It's a piece
player, right?
She's a flutist, and she plays a piece for solo flute and beatbox, and she has to do the beatboxing while playing the flute at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Brett Dietz.
Brett Dietz is our percussionist, and he'll be playing a piece by our composer Dinos Constantinides for marimba.
And I hear you have a fabulous new voice professor.
Yes, Sandra Moon. She'll be doing the piece from Elektra.
And she's performed
She comes to us from a career as a professional opera singer all throughout Europe. She was based in Germany and has really sung in many of the major opera halls around the country, around the world, around Europe, and here in the U.S. We're very excited to have her.
Well, it's this Friday, showtime is
7:30
at the LSU Union Theater, and I think there are some seats available.
There are seats available. You can buy tickets through the Union box office. They're $25. We also have our Gala Spectacular, which is a pre-concert dinner and silent auction, and that's also available through our office at the LSU Foundation.
So that's this Friday, January 31st, the 91st anniversary of the birth of Norman Mailer. And the LSU Music School will be in full bloom, led by its director, Stephen David Beck. I talked to Roger Villery. I think you heard the conversation earlier about how civilized his line of work is as a man who sells flowers. being in the music business isn't bad either, is it?
You know, as careers go, it's a pretty good career. And I'll tell you the thing that really is so remarkable about this particular concert. We're all so busy as faculty members, as professors, and professional musicians ourselves, that it's very hard for us to get to hear each other perform and to really hear what the whole school is doing. This is the one time of the year where all of the faculty, all of the students get to hear each other and we get to share our passion for music. And it's really a great experience and it's a great opportunity for us to reconnect with one another and say, this is why we're here. This is why we're passionate about being at the School of Music.
Kaylee inquires if the dress rehearsal is open to the public.
Unfortunately, it's not. And frankly, this is one of those things that's kind of like sausage. You really don't want to see that
happen. I don't know. That might be fun, but it's not open to the public.
No, unfortunately not.
Unless you break in, which might not be a good thing. But Steve and David Beck's getting ready for Friday night. You have a few signature performances throughout the year, but this one is one that
this is
our
big. This is one of our big performances, and it's really, it really is a point where we bring the whole school together. It's kind of if there's only one concert to go to, this would be the one.
All right, and there will be a gala spectacular.
Right, and so that happens. That starts around 4:30 beforehand, but the price also includes, in addition to a wonderful dinner and the opportunity to bid on items in our silent auction, it also comes with reserved parking.
All right, so you've got one price for the gala spectacular.
Right, the gala is $125.
And then the concert itself?
The concert is $25. The gala tickets include reserved seating
at the concert.
At the concert as
so
well.
So you don't have to,
and reserved
don't have to
parking.
Pay twice. Okay.
That's right.
All right. And if you'd like more information or to like to know more information, I've got two phone numbers, 225-578-5128. That's 225-578-5128 or 225-578-8594, 578-8594.
And you can also find out more information at music.lsu.edu online.
Well, I've often spoken of the quality of the LSU School of Music, and people like you have been there a long time, and some of the people we mentioned, like Bill Grimes and Willis Deloney, Brian Shaw, they're veterans as well. The students come and go, but they're always of top caliber.
We'd like to say that we're one of the best kept secrets in the country as far as music schools. We're trying to change that as a best kept secret. We don't want the secret out. We want people to know what we're doing, and we want people to know how good a school that we are and the quality of the students that we have. One of the other things that we're doing is for the first time we're pairing the Concert Spectacular with our National Audition Day, which is the time when we ask students who want to come to LSU to come visit and audition for our faculty. So all of the students who are coming this weekend to audition at LSU will get a free ticket to go to the Concert Spectacular.
How many students are in the program approximately?
We have about 400 students between graduate and undergraduate students at the school.
And many of those are from outside Louisiana?
About half, a little bit over half of the students are from out of state, yes.
Okay. Well, today is an interesting day in our community, and our man, Stephen David Beck, made it all the way across town to be with us, and he'll be on stage Friday night at the LSU Union Theater. That's a nice venue.
It's a wonderful venue, just recently renovated.
Yes, and you'll have lots of company with you.
We hope so, yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today, and good luck Friday night.
Thank you.
Baton Rouge Metropolitan Airport spokesman Ralph Hennessy says the airport is open today, but airlines serving the facility have no scheduled flights in or out of Baton Rouge, planning on operating later this afternoon, early this evening. This is from today's daily report, and we shall see what happens. It should be an interesting day, and tomorrow may even be more so, and we'll be with you tomorrow as well. Tonight, the State of the Union address on WRKF with President Obama delivering his State of the Union in year 6. He'll have two more, but as presidencies go, the last 2 years of a presidency, you get that lame duck feeling, and tonight may be his last big shot of making any substantial changes in the landscape of our country. Did want to note that in Saturday's New York Times, a column by Charles Blow, who went to Grambling State University, he notes a poll conducted by Fairleigh Dickinson University, 1,185 respondents nationwide, And five questions were asked, and they revealed their source of information as far as the electronic media. And the lowest response, as far as getting the five questions correct, was it came from people who watched Fox News, 1.04 correct, followed by No News at 1.22, followed by MSNBC and CNN 1.26, followed by Talk Radio 1.35, next The Daily Show 1.42, and that followed by The Sunday Show 1.47, and the best of all the electronic news sources as far as people getting their news and getting these questions right, five correct answers would have been perfect. So this still isn't a great score, but it's better than all the rest. 1.51, those who listen to National Public Radio. And we're glad you're listening today. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, for J.C. Kane, I'm Jim Engster. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.